Okay, this is Cherry Lane Genoway calling to order the September 9th, 2022 meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council. This meeting is being recorded, and we will begin our meeting today with an inspiration by Amelia Castro, and then Joni Nichols will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good morning. It's going to be short and sweet. Your mind is a magnet. If you think of blessings, you attract blessings. If you think of problems, you attract problems. Always cultivate good thoughts and always remain positive and optimistic. So I hope everyone has a great day. It's a crazy world we're in these days, and I think a positive attitude really brings good things.
Thank you, Amelia. And I think if we all remember those words, maybe our world will get a little less crazy. So thank you. Desiree, would you like to put the flag up? Hey, Joni.
Sorry, unmuted. Begin again. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Hey, Desiree, could you please take roll?
Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
Linda Barcelona.
Present.
Denise Barnes.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick.
Present.
Amelia Castro.
Present.
Meredith Chalemi.
Present.
Carol Downey.
Present.
Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
Present.
Carolyn Inman.
Present.
Jim Levy.
Present.
Crystal Miles.
Present.
Thank you. Carol Moore.
Present.
Paolo Morales. Did Paolo leave? Okay. Patty Mouton. Joni Nichols.
Present.
Rachel Owens.
Present.
Mary Perdue. John Pointer.
Present.
Tony Rodella.
Hoorah.
Amina Sen Matthews.
Present.
Barbara Slope.
Present.
Sandy Stang.
Present.
Dave Sullivan. Dave Tesloff is absent. Jeffrey Rodriguez.
Present.
Evelyn Velez. Did Evelyn sign off also? We do have quorum, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Desiree. Okay, and now we are on to action item for AB 361 to review and make findings required by Government Code subsection 54953E3. Is there a motion to continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of the emergency arising from COVID-19? Meeting in person presents imminent risks to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Joni Nichols. Did I hear you correctly?
Second, Jean Hernandez.
Wait a minute. Who?
Barbara
I
Sloan.
Saw the yellow box go around Joni, and I heard someone say they moved. Who made the motion?
I did.
Barbara Slope, seconded by Jean Hernandez. Got
Correct.
It. Okay, thank you. Okay, Desiree.
Charlene Ashendorf.
Yes.
Linda Barcelona.
No.
Denise Barnes.
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick.
Yes.
Amelia Castro.
Yes.
Meredith Chalemi.
Yes.
Carol Downey.
Yes.
Elaine Genoway.
Aye.
Jean Hernandez.
Yes.
Carolyn Inman?
Yes.
Jim Levy?
Yes.
Crystal Miles?
No.
Carol Moore?
Aye.
Paolo Morales? Patty Mouton? Joni Nichols?
Excuse me, no.
Rachel Owens?
No.
Mary Perdue? John Pointer?
Yes.
Tony Rodella?
Aye.
Amina Sen Matthews?
Yes.
Barbara Slope motioned. Sandy Stang?
Yes.
Dave Sullivan? Dave Tetzlaff is absent. Jeffrey Rodriguez?
Yes.
Evelyn Velez? And we do have majority chair.
Okay, thank you, Desiree. So the motion passes. Okay, we are on to item number 6, which are introductions. So I'd like to introduce a new member of SCAC to all of you. Some of you already have met her because she has participated in the standing committees in the past and has attended our meetings as a guest. Rachel Owens has been appointed to SCAC by Supervisor Don Wagner. So welcome to SCAC, Rachel.
Thank you very much. Glad to have you with us. Thank you.
And are there any guests today, Desiree, to introduce, aside from our speakers who Meredith will introduce?
I don't believe we have any guests.
Okay. All right. So now, our presentation coordinator, Meredith Chalemi, will please introduce today's program and our guest speakers.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's enduring the heat okay. We're looking forward to cooler weather, hopefully this weekend. It's my pleasure to introduce our speakers. We have a panel today, and they'll all be touching on topics related to intergenerational and creative opportunities for older adults in Orange County. And it's my pleasure, first of all, to introduce Victor Nelson. He is the Executive Director of the Pisern Family Foundation. He's going to be sharing with us on the Artist Outreach Project. I've had the pleasure of working with him over the years and reconnected with him to invite him to this presentation. So, Victor, we are so glad that you're with us. It's nice to virtually see you. If you'd like to share your screen, you may, and take it away.
Nice to see you. Thanks for inviting me, Meredith. I really appreciate being here. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. I'm not a big technology person. This is the first time I'm trying this. So if you get pictures of my dog, just be patient. And I'll get this up really quickly here. Okay, share screen. There we go, click there. Share. Okay. Can everyone see the slide?
Yes.
Okay, good. As Meredith said, I'm Victor Nelson. I'm the executive director of the Pisern Family Foundation. And I'll just give you a quick background about the foundation. And then we're gonna be discussing a couple programs that are relevant to seniors, I think, creative opportunities for them. The mission of the Pisern Foundation is to develop and support programs that promote healthy human development for people of all ages, actually. We figure that if we help folks, teachers, cops, social workers, nurses, et cetera, they're going to be able to make their own contribution to a healthy community. The foundation was started in 2004 by our founder, Ken Pisern. Ken Pisern has an international investment firm that's based in Newport Beach, California. Right now, what Ken does is he does a land development and entitlement, monetizes that by building Class A apartments in the Western United States. And there are probably about 3,000 units that are up and going and maybe another 3,000 at some stage of development. you can go to the PASERN group's website to find out more about Mr. PASERN. He actually makes the money. I give it away. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and my background is with nonprofits for 20 or so years before I started with the foundation. Ken brought me on to help develop the foundation. So today, I want to talk a little bit about the artist outreach project and a little bit more or a little bit less about another grant opportunity that might be applicable for seniors. So I'll just get going with this right now. The Artist Outreach Project is a program for artists of any type who are 55 years old and older. So to be eligible for the grant, this could be a performing artist, a visual artist, or a musician, a writer, and so on. The artist who applies for this project needs to be living in or proposing a project that they're excited about pursuing either in LA County or in Orange County. The artists are given a grant. The funding goes directly to the artist of $15,000, and they contribute an average of about 6 hours a week with participants there interested in serving. These are folks that may not have access to arts-based programming. They're underserved. And what that means to us isn't necessarily that it's a teenager with one foot on a banana peel and one in jail, but just people that might not otherwise be able to experience the kind of art opportunity the artist is proposing. The real first goal of this program is about the artist, about giving the artist an opportunity to pursue a program that's been a dream for them or an exciting project they'd like to pursue. At 55 or older, we tend to be mature, more aware of who we are and what we want to do, and we have plenty of ideas to give back. And artists quite often aren't given those opportunities. These programs they propose need to be mentoring projects or therapeutic projects or educational projects for the participants that they served. This program was started in 2007. We've had 112 artists could collaborate with 137 nonprofits since the program was established, and they've worked with over 16,000 clients. So I'm going to give you a few examples of what artists are doing with this program or what they have done. I think we're expanding this program both in Orange County and in LA County for 2023. So the deadline for artists to apply for this program is, I think it's February 15th. That information's on our website, and that's in 2023. Artists need to apply for this grant, but in my experience, it's always worked out very well when artists collaborate with a nonprofit with clients that the artist is interested in serving, because everybody knows how to make the project work, and those projects tend to work out the best with both the artist and the nonprofit, as well as the folks that are being served. So here's some examples of what artists have done in the past. This is Alex Long. He's a potter in Encinitas. He retired and he set up a pottery class at the Boys and Girls Club in Encinitas. They converted a big, huge, giant room that had a bunch of junk in it. Alex knew something about pottery. He helped them purchase used potter's wheels and set up this project. Alex is probably still working on the Pottery program that he started, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago. And he also plays basketball with the kids. There he is with some of the kids and a big pot being the kids created. This is Barbara Gothard. She started a art and sustainability project with teenagers. I think this was at, it probably says here, Preuss School at UCSD. She was really interested in having teens learn sustainable ways to create art. Part of what you're talking about today is intergenerational programs. Without intending it, and sometimes with intending it, these artists are generally working with people who are younger or older than them, and some are even pulling together intergenerational projects with teens. That's an exhibit that Barbara had in downtown San Diego for the teens at an art gallery. Youngshin Kim started a visual art project with developmentally disabled people. I believe this was in Fullerton at the Muckenthaler Center. Roberto Salas did a huge mural project with students in the art club, the Barrio Art Club, I think, at MiraCosta College. So they work with elementary age kids to create murals like this one at elementary schools. They also did a huge mural at the Adults Learning Center for MiraCosta College. Christina Jones worked with developmentally disabled adults at, where was it? I'm forgetting the name of the organization now. She did a big holiday dance project. Again, worked with them over the course of a year, roughly about 6 hours a week. Brenda Glim is an actor and a comedian. She did an improv class after school at a high school. This was in was Ocean View in Huntington Beach. There's Cheryl Ellers, who must have worked with about 800 kids over the course of the year. I was reluctant to give her the grant because I couldn't believe she could actually do what she was proposing to do, but she was really amazing, and the kids had a great experience, and this is an exhibit that she put on with all the students in her classes. Tim Harlan, so firefighter and glass artist. Actually, I think he did this with one of your programs, Meredith.
He did. I recognize him and the residents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a affordable housing community in San Clemente, California. And all of him and his students did these tile mosaics and tile glass work that eventually was hung at the affordable housing site. Lucy Lukens, she was about 90 and wanted to start what she called a stitch and bitch at a senior center. These are the women that she started with. By the end of the year, there were 90 women attending this class that she started for knitting. And one of the things I'm sure you're all aware of is the issue of social isolation and how that can really impact the health and mental health for older adults. Sustained activities like arts programs like this and connecting with other people really combat that. And Lucy did an amazing job leading this program for, I think, about 3 years. This is Jane LaFazio. She did an after-school program at the Children's Museum. This is in North County, San Diego, with students who were walk over from the middle school across the street to attend her classes. And Manuel Ortega, bilingual guitarist, worked with the Santa Ana Police and Activities League to do a guitar program. Some of the kids were kind of tough, but these boys, I remember, They just wanted to learn how to play guitar so they could play mariachi with some of their uncles. So it was a real great experience for them to have a man like Manuel teach him. And here's Manuel with the younger kids that he taught in the program. This is Randy Winters, who did kind of a fiber arts program with Creer in San Juan Capistrano. And Sal Barajas did a mural project with students. This is a new gym that was funded through government funds, but there was no money for artwork for the middle school that he was working at. And they did these huge murals for the gym. And Ron Wasco started a ukulele program at a senior center. Bay did a performing arts project, Vietnamese dance, singing, and movement that is kind of a lost art with kids at the Vietnamese, where is it? The Vietnamese, I forget the name of the organization, I'm sorry. So that was the artist outreach project. You'll have a chance to ask questions about it. It is really an opportunity for older adults, and you'd be surprised at how few applications we get from artists of any kind for that program. So I encourage you to get the word out to older artists that you may know for that grant opportunity. I'm going to say something very quickly about Vision Initiatives. This program is not just for seniors, but this allows mental health professionals, educators, or healthcare professionals an opportunity to propose a dream project that's not part of their typical budget. And the funding goes to the nonprofit they either collaborate with or are working in. And I think a great opportunity for this $15,000 grant is for some of these folks to propose programs that would fill the needs for senior populations that they're working with, or even create some intergenerational projects at the nonprofits that they work at. And right now, the application deadline for the healthcare group is coming up on October 15th. We'll have a deadline for educators on March 15th. And for mental health, behavioral health, and June 15th. So all the information for these two grant programs is available on our website. And I encourage you to go take a look, because there might be a good opportunity for you and the seniors that you serve. That's it for right now.
Thank you so much, Victor. Amazing to see those beautiful pictures and to hear about all the good work that continues. We're going to save our questions for the end. So next, I would like to introduce our very own Barbara Sloat, and she's going to be talking to us about the OASIS Scholarship Program. So take it away, Barbara.
Thank you. Well, the Friends of OASIS is a nonprofit fundraising group for the OASIS Senior Center of Newport Beach. A scholarship from Friends of OASIS springs from the idea that seniors, our fastest growing demographic nationwide, are also the most vulnerable. Several studies indicate that by 2035, we will have the smallest number of people with at least some education in senior care, gerontology, and senior mental health, only about 5% of what we need. According to elderworkforce.com, the breadth and depth of geriatrics education and training for healthcare professionals remains inadequate to prepare them for the healthcare needs of the future. The site states, as the baby boomers retire and life expectancy increases, now is a critical time to invest in the primary care workforce and family caregivers that we rely on to provide high quality care to older Americans. The Friends, we believe, is and should be a service provider for senior adults. And our initial ideas included, one, how can we help seniors in the future? Two, to our knowledge, no other senior center is attempting to provide for the education of those serving our senior population. Three, can we create a mentor group to help other centers start their own programs? And four, can we impact other different senior servers, from doctors to caregivers, nurses, and care home personnel, and our own city professionals? So our initial committee for education awards included six Friends members and one retired school counselor. We created an application, a letter announcing our intentions, and a circulation announcement to local high school seniors, community colleges, and local senior institutions. We also asked for money from Friends of Oasis and received $6,500 seed money. And later, we received $10,000 from a trust and $1,000 from an individual Friends member. So we had, for this first go-around, a total of $17,500 to disperse. And we're constantly looking for potential donors who wish to support students working to provide skill care to seniors. By the time we distributed information and received applications, it was July 25th of this year, and many schools had started. We received a total of 14 completed applications. The committee met and reviewed all the applications, and we unanimously selected 10 applicants with a wide range of experiences and aspirations. Two are employees of the City of Newport Beach working to complete master's programs in disciplines related to senior services. Two are high school graduates. One is now attending Yale and the other Northwestern University, and they're seeking degrees in gerontology. Two are enrolled in religious-affiliated colleges seeking certificates relating to senior-related mental health and kinesiology. The remaining four are seeking bachelor degrees from California State Universities with emphasis on senior health care and services. And interestingly enough, their ages vary from 22 to 58 years old. Each received awards of $1,250 or $2,500, depending on their schooling costs for tuition, books, and type of program. Our awards did not cover all of their costs, of course, but with remaining sums provided by university scholarships, parents, and part-time work. In each case, the applicant had significant experience with caring for a senior family member, volunteering services for seniors, or job experiences as a senior services provider. Several provided essays, others references, and all indicated in their applications that they had inspiring experiences that made them want to seek further opportunity to provide for and work with their older generations. Our committee chair, Walt Howell, and Walt, this was his thought, this his inspiration. Walt spoke with all of the recipients to inform them of their awards. Each of their responses was appreciative. Several were heartwarming, and all reaffirmed his personal conviction of the need and importance of this effort by our Friends of Oasis Senior Center Scholarship Project. And that's it. And I'm competing with all the noise from collecting trash outside.
I was wondering what that was.
And they're not even doing it in tune, so.
Thank you for solving that mystery for us, Barbara. Yes. Thank you for the wonderful work that you and the group is doing at Oasis. Victor, I see that your hand's up. Do you want to say something before we go on to our next speaker?
That was a mistake.
Oh, okay.
Still getting used to Zoom.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Barbara. And again, we'll take questions at the end. So next, I have the pleasure of introducing Jeffrey Kirby, that has a beautiful Western background. He is a recreation supervisor with the city of Laguna Niguel, my hometown, just like Elaine's. And we're looking forward to hearing about the Tech Tutor Program. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm going to share my screen and hopefully it works. All right. Thank you for having me. Today, I have the pleasure of talking about one of our most popular programs we have here at the center, and especially in intergenerational programs, and it's our Tech Tutors Program. This program was a concept that came out of our Laguna Niguel Senior Citizen Committee. We have a former committee member here, John Pointer, that was a part of this from the start, as well as one of our liaisons at the time, a councilwoman, Elaine Genoway, now our mayor. So thank you. This is all history for them. But the program really started with one of our local high school students communicating with our committee members to give back to the community and share his knowledge of computers and phones with our senior population. This came about with his personal experience training his grandparents on how to use an iPhone. So from that, he extrapolated that and wanted to give back to our center and our residents of Laguna Niguel. We partner at the beginning with Dana Hills High School and Aliso Niguel High School, both serve our community. Over the years, it has expanded to high school students that live in our community, but maybe go to a private school outside our local area. Our last 2 years, we've had someone from Santa Margarita Catholic High School be our high school liaison for this. However, she was a Laguna Niguel resident. The program really takes from individual one-on-one appointments. This takes place on Friday afternoons here at the center. They are by appointment only. Our high school liaison communicates with us 2 weeks in advance on how many volunteers they will have. The number does range from week to week, from the low end of 10 to the high end of 25 high school students that volunteer their time on Friday afternoon. With the changing of the high school start time this year, our program starts at 3:45 instead of 3:30 as they start school a little later. However, it does end at 4:30, which still gives them time to enjoy their Friday afternoon or attend a high school event in the evening. So that part's really awesome. The program runs a calendar school year, so September through May. This program is free to any senior who wants to sign up. Appointments are required, and they can do so by visiting our front desk or calling in. We do create a wait list for this program. So each Friday, Thursday, the day before, our front desk staff here does call each senior to make sure they're going to be able to make their appointment. If they don't call us back, we leave their spot, obviously, but if they do let us know that they won't make it, we set up our waitlist person to come in. Our high school volunteers are led by a liaison each year. This liaison, when they graduate, appoints a new member that has been volunteering with our organization. They spend their last year shadowing them, which is awesome. It's normally a junior or senior, someone entering to become a junior or senior. But they really do take on the responsibility of getting their fellow classmates to come volunteer. It's pretty awesome to see our high schoolers teach our seniors in a wide array of personal items. Lately it's been iPhone or Android. We still do some tablet demonstrations for them. But some of the big issues are connecting to their grandchildren. How do I FaceTime? How do I respond to a text message? And these high school students will make the senior call their grandchild or adult child via FaceTime, so they practice it every Friday. This continues throughout the year. Over the last 4 years, our high school students have been getting more creative with COVID. But even that, they do during the summer, they still volunteer their time, and they do a classroom setting where we take registrations as many as we get, and they dive into a little more high-end technology-based items, whether it's how to Photoshop a photo using Adobe Photoshop or any other type of issues. They normally get their ideas throughout the year from the seniors and what seems to be the most challenging aspect for them. They are always well attended, so it's fun to see. And then, of course, at the end of the year, we throw them a little celebration and we invite all our aging adult population to come back and share their experience. It's really fun to see them interact. They have created some lifelong friends throughout this process, so that's been fun. Even through COVID, we continued this program via Zoom. Some of the first challenges of that was setting up Zoom for some of our technology challenged older adults, but we did make it through. We even continued the celebration with them, driving door to door and giving them certificates of completion. The idea behind this was to give the high school students the opportunity to really share their knowledge and make a direct impact to some of our seniors. This large array, I mean, sometimes I show them how to pay their bills online in this Tech Tutors. Over the years, I will talk about a few challenges that have happened with the ever-changing technology in our cars and setting up Bluetooth devices for our seniors in cars. We do not allow our high school students to go out to the parking lot and do this with our seniors. However, we do have staff members on site, city staff, that will help our seniors at the end of the meeting, their appointment time, to set that up. We find it the best case that our high school students aren't leaving the building and going out front. But last year, we had 194 seniors participate in this program. We had 40 different high school students, and total, they gave about 450 hours of service hours to our seniors. A quick note, almost none of them asked for service credit for their high school. These students volunteer on all different levels, but it's kind of fun to see them every Friday. I'm here to answer any questions. I know it wasn't that long, but my contact information is on the screen. If you do participate in a center, or you know someone who's interested in starting this program, I'm happy to share more details. My contact information is on the screen, and Elaine Genoway can also share that with you. So thank you for having me, and I'm here for any questions.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jeffrey. Amazing program that seems like it could be replicated in other cities. So thank you so much for all three of our presentations. You guys did a terrific job, and now we'll open up the floor for questions. We have a few minutes for questions and answers.
Meredith, this is Elaine. I would just like to comment on the Tech Tutor program. Aside from providing the opportunity for the seniors to learn how to use their devices, when you see the intergenerational relationships that are being created, it's amazing. And that they, both the high school students and the seniors, really enjoy getting to know each other and sharing life experiences and talking about things. So at the end of the year, when they have the graduation ceremony, you'll see that there are real friendships made, and some, you know, sometimes the seniors will bring little gifts for the students, but it's really fostering and cultivating those relationships that I think is an important part of it as well.
Awesome. Joni and then Elizabeth.
I think that today's presentation was just an expansion on the inspiration that Amelia gave today. I just felt, I was found myself just grinning the whole way through. So thank you.
Elizabeth? You're on mute.
You have been providing us with the most fantastic presentations, and I certainly hope all three of these will be set up so that we can access them. Because like that first one, I didn't know anything about it. And I think most of us didn't. But I just can't believe how you have provided us with all these incredible presentations. You really are doing a fantastic job, I'll have to say.
Thank Thank you. Thank you. I'm hoping, and the hope is that, of course, that we're all going to take this information back to each of the senior centers so that maybe we can have the PASERN Foundation have an art program in the senior center, you know, or we can have artists from our communities be part of that program. We can replicate the scholarship program that Newport Beach is doing. We can definitely replicate the tech tutors. Let's spread this all over Orange County. Charlene?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Nelson, I just wanted to let you know that one of my dear old friends, Ty Rose, was a recipient of the foundation more than 7 years ago. Yeah. And what he was able to, what was his dream was to bring low-income students into his studio every week, and he would arrange for transportation from the local elementary school. And then I was one of those volunteers for Ty, and ultimately it culminated with an amazing opportunity for families and these young people to show off their work in a gallery setting. So he inspired all of us. Students, the parents, and himself. He's gone on to do other things, and he's actually left the state. But thank you. I was just more inspired by the ideas and how much you've grown in such a short amount of time. So thank you so much, Mr. Nelson.
That was a cool project. Not many times do kids get a chance to work in a real artist studio. He really cared about the neighborhood. I think it was Costa Mesa, that area, right?
That's correct. Thank you.
Awesome, Charlene. Now we're all smiling even more. Rachel?
And this too, directed to Mr. Nelson. We've been talking in the Senior Center about trying to maybe launch some kind of storyboard, you know, life experience kind of thing. And have you ever had any of the artists approach you about providing a scholarship or a grant for such a project that we might connect to somebody who's already created something or thought about it already?
Well,
and that's the city of Irvine.
We've had a couple artists do projects like that. A writer did a project like that with vets, mostly Vietnam War vets. And then we had an actor who was always in the productions of A Christmas Carol. I'll remember his name right when we get off, who did a project like that. But I can see two opportunities here. One is you could find an artist who's interested in doing that, a writer, actor, or someone who has those skills. The other is that Vision Initiatives grant is a possibility for a senior center or the folks that are working there to propose a specific project. And that can be with an artist or someone else to help work on anything that's in that zone of mental health, behavioral health, healthcare, or education. So I could see a proposal from an artist or from a senior center for a project like that. And I always give advice to people, if they call me at the foundation, I'm happy to talk to you or anyone about the grant and give them some tips so they have a better chance of having a winning proposal. And also to let them know if an idea or there's some show-stopping issue with a project that they want to pursue.
Thank you. I'll propose that at the center. Thank you.
Yeah, feel free to call with questions also.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that support too, Victor. Well, we have time for one more question. If anyone has one last question before we move on to our next part of our agenda.
Meredith? Yes. I just wanted to mention to reach out to Barbara. Also inspired. I didn't know the scene Oasis is doing that. That's really an exciting initiative. And I'm a member of a women's organization that provides scholarships. So I will follow up with you later. Perhaps we can partner. When you have someone who's writing, we may be able to offer substantially greater amounts of scholarship money. So I will reach you behind the scenes.
Wonderful. And Victor, if you're able and willing, if you can send me your slides, I know that people always love having a copy of them after our meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. So thank all three of our panelists. Give them a round of applause for this amazing information. Together, we can all make the world a better place. See that today. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Meredith. And thank you, Victor, Barbara, and Jeff for bringing this great information to us. And we look forward to seeing it around Orange County and enhancing the lives of our seniors. So thank you so much. You are welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, but we also know that you have a busy schedule. So if you do need to sign off, speakers, not to our SCAC members, but to our speakers, we completely understand, but thank you for being with us today. Now we are on to public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Are there any requests to speak?
We did not receive any requests in advance. If there are members of the public that would like to address the board, please use the hand raise icon or press star 9 and I will unmute you. See no hands, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Desiree. So public comments is now closed. We are on to item number 9 on our agenda. Under new business, I know we've touched on this before, just wanted to review some of the changes coming up based on the new bylaws that were approved by the Board of Supervisors. So our leadership process has changed and there is no longer a nominating committee. You know, in the past we did have a committee. So what'll happen this year is at the November meeting, that their nominations will be made for next year's leadership. And leadership now going forward, the term is for 1 year, not 2 years as it had been in the past. And one change that the board did make at the last meeting, as you see, Meredith is doing such a phenomenal job with the presentations, and that takes a lot of time to coordinate all this. But also a piece of that was also scheduling our inspiration pledge and the greeters for when we meet in person. So what was decided is those responsibility will now go to the secretary to schedule those people so that the presentation person or coordinator can focus just on these phenomenal presentations that we've been having. So, but if you are considering a leadership position, please let me know. I'll be happy to discuss that with you, as will any of the board members. And then also in the next several weeks, I'll be putting something out, just giving you an idea of any of the existing board members who may wish to continue in their capacity. As far as first quarter items for 2023, keep in mind that in February, we will be having our full SCAC workshop. And the workshop is where we come together and talk about what are the top 5 priorities that we are going to deliver to the Board of Supervisors. What are we going to advocate for the seniors in Orange County that's within the purview of the Board of Supervisors? So between now and then, be focusing on that in your standing committees. That's what the focus should be in your particular issue area. What are the immediate needs of seniors, and how can we turn that into something that the Board of Supervisors may be able to take action on? So just keep that in mind, because come February, that's where we're all bringing our ideas together so that we can prepare those priorities. And then in May, we will be delivering that to the Board of Supervisors during Old Americans Month. Old business, just a reminder, we are still hoping to have our November SCAC meeting in person at Laguna Niguel Community Center. Actually, it's called in Laguna Niguel at the Crown Valley Community Center. And then we are dark in December. So just to give you a heads up for what's coming in the next few months. And I appreciate all that you're doing. Keep bringing forward the great ideas. Keep sharing great information, as Meredith did today with the presentations. so we can replicate that around the county to enhance the lives of all Orange County seniors. Now we will go on to item 10, and Jeanette Revilla will give us the Office on Aging update. As all of you know that Erica Danzak accepted a position with another organization and is no longer with the Office on Aging, and we miss her greatly, but we are glad that Jeanette is here to provide us with some information.
Hello, everyone. Thank you all for having me. I just have a few quick updates for the Office on Aging. Speaking of, I know our topic for the speakers today mainly focused on intergenerational activities. The Office on Aging is currently working on a request for proposals for intergenerational meals. We anticipate on releasing this RFP, hopefully within the next month or so. So more information to come on that one. I might actually try to recruit a couple of members of the committee to potentially participate in the evaluation panel if, once we get to that portion of the request for proposals. We also submitted the application for the California Department of Aging's request for application on the Access to Technology program. So this is another program that we worked with in partnership with the Social Security Administration. These are another, this is a program that would potentially award or open up the opportunity to provide more devices to our senior citizens locally, and also maybe extend some of the data plans for the existing 2,200 devices that we distributed under the Bridging the Digital Divide program. So we haven't received any response from CDA just yet, but we did just submit it on August 25th. We were also awarded the HCBS, or Home and Community-Based Services, grant for nutrition infrastructure. So the Nutrition Infrastructure Award, it's actually designed to help improve our existing Older Americans Act providers' infrastructure around nutrition, and also opening it up. It might also potentially open it up to other nutrition providers in the area for older adults. So, you know, it will allow purchases of refrigerated trucks or any kind of temperature control, equipment for our Older Americans Act programs and other elderly nutrition programs. So that the state standard agreement will be released soon, hopefully. We're also getting a CalFresh expansion award for 3 years in the next couple of months. Again, a lot of these are waiting from CDA. We're waiting from the California Department of Aging to actually release the funding. We do have two items going to the Board of Supervisors this month, one on September 13th, which is the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Contract. And September 27th is the ARPA contracts for the Older Americans Act. So CDA also has some American Rescue Plan Act dollars that is separate from the county American Rescue Plan Act dollars. And that's mainly the point, or the intent of those funds is to continue to supplement and support our existing Older Americans Act programs. And then lastly, we do have some ongoing recruitments for our director position, several management positions, and staff specialist positions. And we are still trying to fill those. And hopefully once we are able to secure those staff members, we can bring them along to SCAC and introduce them to everyone. So you know who to contact in the Office on Aging. Does anyone have any questions so far about any of these updates?
I don't see any questions. So you were very thorough in providing us with all that great information. Glad to see this funding coming to Orange County. So we appreciate your providing us with the update. Thank you, Jeanette.
Thank you all.
Okay, now we will go on to the standing committee reports. Gene Hernandez.
I've got no report today.
Okay.
I'll turn to my colleagues if they're on and they'd like to report out.
Okay, I don't see Evelyn. Anything to report, Barbara?
Last month, Austin Messick from NAMI spoke about the services available and mental health. And of course, it's a tremendous problem that we're all faced with all the time, it seems, these days. Every day when it seems like it can't get worse, it does. So we're trying to work our way through. My problem for our meeting next month is that my speaker left town. He moved all the way to Tennessee, so I'm going to look for another program next month, and that's all I have to report.
Okay, and also to all the standing committees, keep in mind that you don't always have to have a speaker. It may be a working meeting where you're coming together to talk about what are you going to present in February and what areas you want to focus on. So it's perfectly okay to have a working meeting as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Sandy, do you have anything to report? Sandy, you're muted.
Sorry about that. I forgot.
No problem.
Yes, we had a good speaker from 211 Orange County. She gave us an update. I know everyone, probably most of them are familiar with it, but things have changed over there as well, and they're updating. It's a nonprofit referral service. So if you have a situation where somebody's looking for food or housing, whatever, you would call their 800 number. They'll ask for your zip code, and then they'll give you the name of the agency that you could call. So what they are is they refer to themselves as referral specialists. They also have people on site that speak English, Spanish, and Vietnamese. If there are other languages that they need, they can do them. I forgot what the word she used, but somehow electronically. They're doing a lot with disasters, with the fire, with the heat. They're also working with public safety on the power shutoff. They have working with CalFresh, which used to be the food stamp program. They have a virtual front door program. They have, mental health resources. They're working with 211 Ride. They had vet links for the 211 Ride. They have, and she asked us to check their website. They've updated their website, and she said it's gotten very good. They're also working with hate crime. And so I thought it was, they have worked with, they're at capacity in California. Everything's covered, which is not true in all the other states. So she felt that was a really good thing. They're mobile friendly. You can text during the day, not in the evening. But other than that, they're open 24/7. And let me see if I missed anything. That was a very good presentation. I'd seen their presentation quite a while ago, and quite a few things have changed. So I would encourage everybody to go look at their website. When people ask you questions, I don't know where to find whatever, we've asked them to call 211. They don't give you the service, but they'll tell you who to call to get the service. So that was a very good presentation.
Great. Yeah, sounds like it. Lots of good information. Thank you, Sandy.
Sure.
Okay, now we are on to item number 12, Senior Center Liaisons. Carolyn, do you have anything to report?
Yes, just a couple of things. First of all, we sent you a new liaison list, and I want to thank everyone for being cooperative on that. We have a little tiny bit of trouble right now because we don't have as many people from North Orange County as we do from the South. So we're all taking, almost all of us taking at least two positions. But anyway, we're doing our best with it. And thank you for your cooperation. The second thing is that we said that, I want to remind you that we had said that if you would take a picture of yourself with the senior center staff member that mostly you connect with and send it to me, we'll put them all together for the November get together in person. And just to encourage you to have one more really low-key, nice little relationship experience with that person. So we'd like to do that. I had a little aha moment today during Meredith's really excellent speakers. I totally agree. They were, the reason I did is because that they were very practical, very local, very practical things that we could at least consider for any of our centers. But I know we always send a flyer for the meeting that's coming up. And I'm not sure how much we have gotten, how many guests we have gotten to the meetings. But regardless of that, if we had a few sentences and a major contact number on a piece of paper, you could send that, because these three things that they talked about are things that someone might say, oh, well, you know, I want to present that to my senior council. That might be a good idea. So maybe we could add that. I don't know if we can this time. It didn't occur to me till they were all done, so I didn't take as good a notes as I sometimes do. But anyway, that's an idea of sending things. We don't want to overwhelm anyone with too many emails. People get, you know, are very tired of that. But this is very practical. And, you know, anyway, so that's my report. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Carolyn? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Okay, and now we're on to presentation schedule. Meredith.
Hello again, everyone. And let's see. We have speakers coming up from the Saddleback Emeritus group. And then also that's in next month, I believe. And then in November, we are going to have the Family Caregiver Month. And we're going to have Jack Light speaking from the Caregiver Resource Center about caregiver needs and experiences in Orange County. I am starting to work on speakers for next year. Sandy, thank you for sending me some ideas from your committee. I would appreciate if other people have ideas. Everyone has different contacts and experiences. If we have more homegrown programs that we could replicate across the county, please let me know. I would love to be able to start putting some other panels together around different topics that could be impactful that are, that we can replicate easily and have good ideas from. So it's easier if you send me the email with as much information as possible. And why you think it would be a good fit. It could just be a couple sentences with the contact information of the organization or the person. And I think that that'll help because we all have different contacts. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Meredith. And again, thank you for bringing us these great speakers. So we are on to item 14. Any announcements from our SCAC members? Anything you would like the rest of the committee to know about regarding senior issues? Tony Rodella. Unmute. You're muted, Tony.
I had the honor of going to the funeral of Dr. Nancy Chang. She was a longtime SCAG member. Her motto was, okay, what else can I do to help? She was a beautiful, beautiful person, always helping. She was a great asset at the Irvine Senior Center. So just thought I'd mention her in passing. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Tony. Many of us had worked with Nancy over the years, and my understanding is she had just recently passed. And also, she served on SCAC until just about a year or two ago. So she was a great contributor. It's a great loss, but she contributed throughout her life. Thank you, Tony. Any other announcements? Elizabeth, unmute yourself, Elizabeth.
I asked Carolyn, but Carolyn said that regarding an address to send condolence cards to Nancy Chang's family. Carolyn had suggested we'll send it to the church, but I don't know the name of the church, where it was, and is there anyone Tony, do you have an address for Nancy Chang's family?
Tony, you're muted.
St. Thomas More Catholic Church in Irvine.
Well, and but, wasn't Nancy on the Irvine Senior Citizens Council?
Yes, she was.
So maybe they would have an address too.
Yes.
But that would be her address, not her family's address.
Okay, right. I mean, so they don't have a family address anywhere to forward?
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
I wanted to grant the request, but it really seemed intrusive since I didn't know the family members that were there to go up and say, could I have your address? It just didn't feel right. So,
So, Tony, if you could email that address that you have for the church, then if anyone wants to send a card, they can send it to the family of Nancy Chang, care of the church.
I'll do that.
Okay, thank you. Any other announcements? Charlene.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just two quick ones. Reminder that on September 14th, the Fountain Valley Senior Center will be having a presentation on Welcome to the OC Bus, which is really a nice way to get the residents of the community to attend and really see how the transportation, how they really work instead of just through a flyer. So happy to share that. And thank you, Meredith, for allowing me the opportunity to take over Fountain Valley. It's been a nice experience and very different than Costa Mesa Senior Center. Also, the Senior Center in Costa Mesa will be hosting on Wednesday, the 28th, their Knowledge and Health Fair Expo. That's from 10 until 1 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlene. Jim.
Yes. On Tuesday, September 20th, there is a meeting of the California Master Plan on Aging stakeholders that will be in Sacramento, California, which will have to do with the governor's vision of California for all. John Poynter might be able to give more information on this. I will be attending the Sacramento meeting.
John? So this is a live meeting, yes. Not a virtual meeting?
Okay. It's a live meeting and a virtual meeting for those who can't make it.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim. I'll be happy to send the flyer to Desiree, I believe, and she can redistribute it to all the members. They're still accepting invitations, access virtually. The in-person session is closed. There's a waiting list. So just an FYI.
Okay, thank you, John, and thank you, Jim. Yeah, we'll look forward to getting that flyer. So Desiree, when John sends that to you, if you could distribute it, that would be great. Thank you.
I'm sure
Jim, did you have anything else?
So it might be available if you can't attend either in person or virtually. It'll be available in a recording format subsequent to it. Usually it takes about 10 to 15 days to show up on the CDA website.
Okay, thank you. Any other announcements? Okay, seeing none. Our next SCAC meeting is Friday, October 14th, and the presentation will be about lifelong learning. Our standing committee meetings are September 19th, Senior Citizens Engagement, September 21st, Wellbeing Reimagined, and then October 13th, Housing and Transportation. So thank you all for being here today. Stay dry this weekend and continue doing the good work you're doing in Orange County. This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you all.